And welcome to Season 9, Episode 30 of Swimming with the Fish. I am a very well-rested crutch back amongst the folks of Terra Firma Americana, and specifically with the Chief and the Goon. Goon, how are you, sir?
I'm not as well-rested as you. In fact, I'm a little grumpy toward all of humanity.
Well, me too.
But you got, not you.
Well, you said all. So now I'm not human.
No, you're in the inner circle.
Oh, you know,
I don't know. So we call ourselves the Circle of Sauron or something.
Chief, how are you? Because I'm getting a little nervous here.
Well, I was never human, so I don't have to worry about that. I'm tired from all the yard work.
Are we tired? Oh, you've moved into the next generation?
I
lawn work, the next generation.
I was sitting on the mower, going like, I am hour three into this. Why do I have so much yard? You know?
Oh, I could tell you why, because you moved to Texas and everything's bigger in Texas.
Yeah, it's just that, you know, it hits. It's when it hits you and you're just like, you know, why am I doing this? I could be doing so many, like, go.
I could be living in a swanky apartment in a small metropolitan city.
Oh, no, nothing like that.
Oh, okay.
The laziness. I could be paying someone else to do it. Why am I doing this?
Oh, why pay? You've spawned
right.
Ogryn.
Extra
more.
They don't?
They're
both out?
Yeah.
Oh. Wait a second. So there's just you, Siberian Express, her sister, and her sister's
henchwomen.
Gosh. Wow, that's a lot of such, dude.
I'm not even gonna approach a comment here because nothing good that I can say.
And you don't want to wind up dead. I get it.
I really don't.
I have learned, as other people have come over, mm-hmm. but that have only known me for a year or so.
Sure.
And said, this is their revenge, because it used to be three boys and one woman. Now it's three women and one man.
Yeah.
And I said,
how the tables have turned.
I said, we together made those boys. These chicks just showed up.
Really? It's not like they're daughters. That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you poor, unfortunate soul.
I just stand in the basement of a stately Goon manor with a show cat.
It saves you from frying pans. I get it.
And it saves me from criticism on, you know, my
everything.
Equipment policy.
Your equipment policy?
Car policy, all that stuff.
Oh, yes. How are your cars?
Well, anyway, I hope you've enjoyed this week's Swimming with the Fish.
And moving on now. Boy, that was an awkward segue. Because you don't know the segue.
So I got a call from Mike the Mechanic.
Mike and the Mechanics? I love their music.
So do I. And he's really good with cars too. And he called me. And so I'm a little puzzled because I got this translated through the hurricane. So it won't be till next week when I have the true story. Mm-hmm. But the part I understood was, hey, I figured out what was wrong with the suspension.
Okay.
He said, I'm sorry it took so long. I had to go through a lot of YouTube videos. I knew what was wrong, but I couldn't find the part that had gone bad. So it was, in fact, a sensor,
mm-hmm.
which means the whole repair will be under $1,000.
Oh, well, yeah, that's great.
Which is good news, right?
Sure, absolutely.
However, he goes, I don't recommend you. yeah, you drive the car to Florida. And Hurricane said it was because I thought she was talking about a brake line. Well, the brake lines are metal encased, but they have plastic parts inside. I don't know if that's at where they join. You know, that doesn't make sense to me. Most brake lines I've seen are all metal. But
it could be blinker fluid, but go ahead.
It could be. Left-handed liquid wrench could be anything.
I know.
But anyway, those are a little worn. And he said, I do know how to fix them. It's going to take a little while for us to thread everything through. So this is going to be a labor-intensive job. And I don't think you want to spend the money before you go on vacation. So I would take, you know, take your other car. So we'll just take the other Mercedes.
The other Mercedes. We're going to have like a little somebody riding behind you with a little trike and you're running up and every so often just offering you a bowl of Grey Poupon, you know.
Maybe one of your servants from your recent vacation could have come back with you.
I did not greet back anybody
next to the border.
Mr. Crutch. I had enough problems getting across the border without having to bring people with me. Holy Jack Robinson.
So is El Chapo Crutch Guzman now?
I wanted his three countries now.
You're lucky to be back here. Yes. So the short story is, yes, it's going to be fixed. Probably taking the other car to Florida.
That's cool.
And okay. And then, however, then Hurricane started saying cable. There haven't been brake cables in cars in a century.
Well, that would be about right, wouldn't it?
Yeah. However, if he's talking about... Shut up.
He's not doing 25 Duesenberg out here.
Yeah. You know, I wish I could defend myself there, but yeah, there's no defense.
No. Nah. If you could get a 1925 Duesenberg, you would. I know you.
I would.
Yeah.
It's a doozy.
That's where the word comes from.
Indeed it is. Yeah, I think this is a family thing. We'll have to discuss this with the Swamp Fox. But my dad, for sure, used stuff until you couldn't use it anymore. I don't know that Swamp Fox's dad was particularly that frugal. But the uncle who lived across the street, kind of from both of us.
Mm-hmm.
Was definitely, he had lots of old stuff. So
the side of the road over here.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I guess that's where I get this tendency. I don't know. But you know, at any rate, well, that, I guess we'll, if it's a cable, and it's for the emergency brake. Well, that hasn't worked since I bought the car. And that, in fact, could have plastic parts inside. And that could, in fact, be why we haven't been able to make it work. And if he's talking about that.
And by making it work, we mean emergency stop.
It's really a parking brake. And it's supposed to set automatically when you stop the car. And it doesn't.
Because that's what the Germans wanted.
And, if that's all it is, I may in fact drive the car because I, you know, not only do I not need that, I haven't needed it for a year and a half now. So where we're going, we don't need a parking brake.
Thank you, Doc.
Yeah. Oh my God. I just looked at the pictures you're sending me. That's a sweet car, dude.
Those are 1925 Duesenbergs. Yeah.
Those are sweet.
Yes. I will include the pictures because, you know, I believe in sharing. Yeah.
And
yeah, I would have one of those.
See?
Derailing the goon is another thing that you have done.
It's what I do best.
I'm sorry, where were we?
Anyway, so you're going to be using the other car from another country.
The other Mercedes, yes.
Yes.
It's a first world problem. I know. Yes. It's a little less snooty than the one that's in the shop.
Okay. I mean, I guess you could take the jet, but it's a more homey ride to take the Mercedes, you know.
It is. And I suppose we could take the Honda minivan, but that just isn't done.
Can't be seen out of Maryland, that. Oh, goodness.
I'm not sure that one would make it to Florida either, so.
Yeah, we got to Virginia and she just basically fell apart.
The wheels would fall off. I'd get out of the car and go, all right, get your bags. We're walking.
The wheels on the car fell off again.
Just walk it. Just take the license plates and walk away, man.
Oh. I probably walking across the border would have been better because.
Do tell her what happened.
So ladies and gentlemen,
I am El Chapo.
I am just finished a week in beautiful,
Old Mexico.
Yes. What's the official name though? It's Cabo San Lucas Baja Sur. It is about as far down in the Baja Peninsula as you can get. In fact, I think I sent you guys a picture out on the water of an archway with a tiny black rock. And that tiny black rock is literally the southernmost part of the Baja Peninsula.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it was part we're on a sunset cruise while we were down there. We did a lot of fun things. A big family get together. My father-in-law passed away at the beginning of June. Prior to that, my mother-in-law was not going to go with us because she was caring for my father-in-law. When he passed, she said, you know what, this might be one of the last times I get to go. So she came with us, and it was very cathartic. There was a lot of, I know you're not supposed to read things into things. My father-in-law's first name is very uncommon in the United States. It's more common in Mexico. He's Filipino, but his first name is Mauricio. Morris, basically. And we had a number of different drivers for, like, you know, Uber cab rides and staff at the place who all had the name Mauricio. And there were the same Coke.
You can't ignore me.
What? I'm sorry.
Burros.
We actually didn't ride any burros. I'm honest to say I was nowhere near a burro the entire time I was here. There. Anywhere. Burros.
Mm-hmm.
But they have that same, you know, putting names on the Coke cans. And this is a little weird. So my mother-in-law has a little trouble walking, and we had her up at the front of the line to get on the boat early, you know, like they let old folks get on early. And one of our group, and we're a group of 10, was up there with her. And that person had the ticket. Now, the ticket was for all 10 of us. So we're in line about halfway through the line. And she said, well, come on up. And so all 8 of us go up there with them. And then the people said, no, you can't all just come up. You go back in line. Well, now we have to go to the end of the line. So I'm a little irritated. We go to the end of the line, and there's a table near where the end of the line is, and it's got one single Coke can on it, and that Coke can has the name Mauricio on it. And I was like, okay. So there was a lot of symbology and remembrances, and it was a very nice trip. She had a good time, which was like the most important thing. I actually got some color, so I'm not completely pasty white anymore. 18.
Are you still a racist?
Well, according to you, that probably will never leave me. So, you know, I'll leave it at that. I am not racist. Well, I have nothing against the people in Mexico. I have a lot against the people in Nashville.
Okay.
So the people who run the airport in Nashville.
So you don't like rednecks?
I don't like the people who run the Nashville airport. How's that? So on the way down, we're flying from BWI to Nashville. So it's an hour and a half flight, and it's going to be Nashville to Cabo. So it's an international flight. So you have specific things you have to do to get your boarding pass. You have to show a passport and stuff, right? So the paperwork gets all done, and we all get to Nashville, and we are literally 12 minutes from getting on the plane. And the lady at Southwest, because I'm flying Southwest, because maybe, I don't know, for the last time, she goes, hey, if you don't have this little phrase at the bottom right corner of your boarding pass, then you can't get on the plane. You have to go get in line to get, you know, further checked out. I'm like, they checked me out in Baltimore. I flew on a plane, supposedly for an international flight. Now, all of a sudden, you tell me there's a new hoop, you know, new hurdle to hoop. So we all, I mean, and I mean all of us, every single person got up and got in line. And I think that freaked them out. I think that they thought there was only going to be like two of us. No, everybody. Nobody had this little magical phrase on their boarding pass. And now we've got people not coming just from PWI, but coming from other places that have culminated in Nashville in order to go, you know, to Cabo. So we're all standing there and the line is moving at like glacier speed. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm like, we're like 10 minutes in. And I'm like, they're not going to hold the plane for all of us. One of two things is going to happen, okay? Either they're going to stop this nonsense, or we're all going to miss the flight. The plane is going to take off on time. Sure enough, because, you know, money talks and BS walks. Oh, no, no, you don't need that. Everybody get back in line and we'll load the plane quickly. Oh, really? A surprise, surprise. So we all got on the plane. So we down there, we now fly back to Nashville. So we fly back to Nashville and they say, hey, your flight to Baltimore is at gate C20. Now, Nashville is kind of one of those spoke design airports. So there's a central hub and then each of things spoke out and, you know, it starts at one and goes to 20. So I'm on C20. I am as far out sea as you can get. And they announce with 12 minutes again. I don't know what's special about 12 minutes. With 12 minutes before boarding, hey, we moved you to D1. Everybody now is making the mad dash to go run all the way back to the central spoke, over one and up one. Okay. So we get to D1 and we're all standing around huffing and puffing because we think, you know, the plane's going to, you know, still be taking off. Nope. Now you got 14 minutes before takeoff. I'm like, okay, somehow I ran faster. I ran in negative time. I'm not sure how that worked, but okay.
Okay, Superman.
Look at me. Right. Exactly. But over the announcement, we're standing there. Now the sign at D1 says you're going to Baltimore. The announcer goes, okay, all you folks going to Minneapolis, your new gate is Delta 1, D1. And I went, what is going on here? Well, apparently the flight to Minneapolis was the flight after ours. And I guess, you know, our plane's going to pull out and just scoot a new one in there right quickly. It's just a seriously mismanaged airport and a pox on them.
Well, you wouldn't know this because you were out of the country while it happened, but be glad it wasn't in the middle of the week you were traveling.
Mm.
Southwest's reservation and scheduling system,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's the, apparently it's steam powered. went down again. My coworker's daughter just got married, was coming back from her honeymoon
mm-hmm.
from Vegas to Portland, Maine, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And was stuck in the airport for 2 hours. Then they finally put her on the plane and she was there for like 3 more hours.
Yikes.
Before they could take off.
Yeah. You know, I just realized I forgot the biggest problem was even before I got to the gate C20 at Nashville. So we're flying back from Cabo. And it was a very early flight. Like we all were up at like 5 o'clock in the morning because we had to catch a 7:30 shuttle to the airport because you got to be at the airport 3 hours ahead of time. We were flying around 11. So nobody's had anything. We grabbed some horrible food for breakfast and my sister-in-law decided to pick up a Subway sub to take with us because, you know, it's travel food. It would, you know, you can stick it in your carry-on and, you know, have it at your leisure during the 4-hour flight to Nashville. Well, apparently nobody in her family wanted the Subway sub. So somehow my wife ended up with it. And I don't get that. It's your sister's sub, let her deal with it. And, you know, nobody throws anything away. Here's the problem.
Uh-oh.
It's food. And you have to be very careful about what food you bring into the United States. So my, you know, we're up there talking to the nice person at the counter, and he says, do you have any food with you? And my wife goes, well, I've just got a Subway sub, thinking, well, you know, it's Subway. No, it's Subway Mexico. What's on the sub? Is there any tomato or bacon? And I'm thinking, did she get a BMT? God, I think she got a BMT. We're screwed. Turns out it was a turkey sub. But they had to take us off into a little room. And we got to be the stars of one of my wife's favorite shows, which is where, you know, they go through all of your luggage in a separate room. And as it turns out, they scanned the luggage and they found a couple of things that were a little disconcerting. And then my wife said, oh, yeah, we also have chocolate and coffee. Apparently, chocolate and coffee bear a striking resemblance to narcotics on the X-ray. So just for word of warning, if you're traveling into the United States and you have chocolate and or coffee, tell them up front. In fact, show me.
Coffee screws up the dogs who detect drugs.
Really?
I read that somewhere. Yeah.
So it's a tactic. Oh, great. So they thought I was like, you know, what was it you called me earlier, Chief?
Crutch El Chapo Guzman.
Thank you. Yeah. No, I'm just addicted to coffee.
Please don't kill us, Safe.
Yeah. So in all honesty, the TSA folks at Nashville were great people. You know, no problem at all with them. My problem is strictly the Southwest ticketing nebbishes, not being able to, you know, do a decent job. But that was the long and the short. It was a lovely trip. I got some really good downtime. You know, I do enjoy my job, but it was nice not thinking about it for 7 straight days.
Well, since you mentioned the Southwest folks, I don't think you'll have to be dealing with them very much longer.
No?
Well, I have an article here before me from MSN. Which usually I discount, but I think this is a pretty good one.
Microsoft Network? Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So do you know, can I ask you both, what made Southwest Airlines unique? When you think of Southwest, what are the unique things you think of?
Bags fly free.
Bags fly free and the free for all to get a seat, yes.
Yeah. Put in the, they would like you to say everybody's equal. We don't have special seats.
Right.
And that's why they do the rodeo style, the rodeo.
Swing your partner around and around, throw him in an aisle seat and sit your butt down.
This article says earlier this year, Southwest Airlines officially ended its longstanding bags fly free policy. At the beginning of next year, they end their seating policy and they start having special seats and, you know, just like any other airline they're going to be.
Literally just like any other airline. Yeah.
And, see that I can never go and look at something and continue talking.
I'm sorry.
I have only a single processor.
Okay.
But anyway, so they got rid of bags fly free and they're charging $35 and $45 for an additional bag. And the airline hoped the increased revenue from checked bags would help boost profits. Yeah.
How'd that work out?
Well, you know, they announced their second quarter earnings. In their most recent earnings call, says MSN, Southwest reported less than expected revenue, with no noticeable boost from checked bag charges. In fact, executives admitted that basic economy sales slumped immediately following the checked bag changes. And then the genius who wrote the article here says, this is not necessarily good news for Southwest.
Can I put that under the category of no blank Sherlock?
Yeah. Yes. You called him Captain Obvious when we discussed
Captain
this.
Captain Obvious. Oh, so my God.
Here's my question.
Uh-huh.
will they take the leadership advice from Disney and double down
and change the rate to $60 a bot? Yeah, probably.
Continue to lose business, or will they say, we have made a mistake and we will go back to what worked for us?
Current management is not going to do that because they were taken over by venture capitalists.
Yeah, who are literally in it, who squeeze as much money out until the wheels fall off, maybe even literally.
I think that's going to happen a lot. My prediction for our podcast pool is they're all done by fall of next year, out of business.
They might mail through the Christmas area. I think maybe early 2027.
Well,
Chief,
I got to see their competition. So Spirit. Yeah. So here's the thing.
I've never thought of Spirit as anyone's competition, but please.
I've always thought of it as a cautionary tale, but okay.
Spirit's competition is Frontier.
Yeesh.
Yeah. Ooh. So it's like bad and worse. The only one who could challenge them in the past was United. They would literally beat you up if they didn't lock you on the flight. So there are people that are going to DEF CON, which is, you know, the security convention in Las Vegas, which starts on Friday.
Ooh, you go.
And last minute, they're like, oh, you know, we need to go. And I said, the only people that are going in the time frame that you want are Spirit and Frontier.
Oof.
Yeah. Now, okay,
how lucky are you?
So here's the thing. Since they were going that route and they wanted to check in a bag, you're complaining about $30, right? Or no, you're making the observation that $30 is the price that they want to go with.
Right.
Southwest did, yeah.
Yeah.
Spirit is $110 off the bat.
For one bag. It would be cheaper for me to ship it UPS.
Yeah. No, that was one bag carry on, not one bag checked in.
Holy cat.
Yeah. Plus you have to pay for the air you're going to breathe while you're on the plane.
Right.
Oh, so
shallow breathing, only $35.
So what I did was through just looking at the ridiculousness, I said, oh, if I get them first class, all this is included. And it's actually cheaper.
Oh my gosh.
So they have two first class tickets going.
Wait, wait a second. First class on
Frontier.
On Frontier.
Spirit. On Spirit.
On Spirit.
Oh, it's Spirit, sir.
First class on Spirit. That's like being at the front of the Titanic.
So guess how many seats are in first class?
Like, I'm gonna guess all
three.
Of them. Half of them.
Four
seats. That's it.
Wow. I was close and I was trying to be funny.
So like so one row.
Yes. It is two seats.
Up on front. Either side. Yeah.
Yes. And then there are eight seats in business class. And then everything else is the sardine can.
It's sardine.
you have to close the drapes so that the pores don't look at you while
the pores.
And there are two holes in the front of your seat in that class. When they land, you just got to put your feet through there and run really fast.
I want to hear how it is, because I've never got to you get free beverages, you get meals, not again. So after calculating everything, I was like, there's no point, because it's like, it's $40 for Wi-Fi.
Jeez.
And I mean, everything,
it's super nickel and dime. Yeah.
But you expect to get, you know, backstabbed when you fly Spirit or Frontier, and you only do it because it's your last resort.
Right.
Right.
when we sent Goonchild on her mission trip during school, the mission people paid for a ticket on Spirit. So what is the overweight, what's the bag weight limit on an airline crutch?
50
How many
pounds? 50
right.
pounds, because I went in at 49.6, baby.
As did we with Goonchild. Unfortunately, on Spirit, it's 40 pounds.
That's not cricket.
It's not.
Wow.
And there's nothing you can do when you're at the airport.
Well, I mean, you know, no. It's like, where do you put it?
Would you care to guess how many times I've flown Spirit since then?
If I was counting on one hand, no fingers. Yeah, sir.
No fingers. That would be right.
So this is what the Siberian Express does.
She joining some of the plane?
No. When she does that, I have to bring another container. So as she puts it up and they tell her it's overweight, she starts removing things. I said, why did you bring these things anyway if you're going to remove? Like, if you knew this, and then right. I get the death stare, and then...
Or, you know, you could just go to Amazon and buy one of those little handy-dandy, suitcase weighers. You know, you hook it, walked it up.
I said this was overweight. That is something you don't say in a house full of women. So
it did happen to my sister-in-law. She was, as we were, she has two daughters in their 20s and they bought a bunch of stuff. And apparently one of them had a bottle of some sort of stuff, lotion, something, I don't know. But that one bottle weighed like a pound and a half, and that was just enough to take him over the edge. So I had to find another piece of luggage to put it in.
For my upcoming week-long trip to Florida,
mm-hmm.
I will have one medium-sized suitcase that would require, you'd have to check it if you were going on an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a small carry-on that I put all my electronics and, you know, a shaving kit, stuff like that in there. And that's it.
I did.
The rest of the car is full. I'm just going to say that. You can figure out whose stuff it is. The rest of the car is full.
I know. Isn't it great? But, you know, she and I and my son went to, we did 8 days in Ireland and 2 days in England. About three years ago. And we each made a point that you had your backpack or your purse, two backpacks and a purse in our case. And then you had one carry-on over the, you know, up in the overhead size piece of luggage for 10 days. And we did it. Now, we wore a lot of t-shirts and we had a lot of underwear that we threw away as we went along and bought new stuff when we got home, because the underwear and stuff that we threw away made room for stuff that we bought. So like, if you're buying a t-shirt, you got to chuck one. So that's kind of how that worked. But it worked for us. We got, you know, carry-on luggage. We checked no luggage in for that flight because I was sure they were going to lose stuff. That's a nice car. What kind of car is that?
That is my alternate Mercedes.
Well, now.
That is a 1999 S320. I said it was a big car.
And that's what you're, like, that's what you're going to be... No, it looks like, where is that? Where were you when you took this picture?
That isn't my car. That is a picture that I took off the internet. Oh. My car is silver.
Oh. Do you gentlemen know who Rain Bolt is?
Rain Bolt?
Yes.
Any relation to Usain Bolt?
No.
Then no.
Then I don't know.
That's the only Bolt I know.
Okay, so.
Sounds like a Marvel character.
He very well could be.
With water powers.
But no. But he, one of the nice things, because people wonder, you know, Chief, how is it that you do the weird things you do on the internet?
I don't know. How do you do them?
So it's because I'm constantly learning.
Oh,
Well, and learning is good.
Yeah. So I will show you why for everyone who wants to know, there will be a video that Crutch will share.
Okay.
And it's a person who's making a comment of what it looks like. And then he goes on to explain how he knows that it is not true. And if you look at all of his other videos, number one, it's he doesn't use foul language. There's nothing suggestive. It is just a man on a mission, and that mission is to memorize the planet. Okay. So he is. People have given them pictures. There's who was it? It was the guy who was on The Office, John Krasinski.
Mm-hmm.
Said find me in one of his videos because he just came out with I think it's Fountain of Youth.
Quiet Place 3 is coming out soon,
and so he looked at the video and he looked at when he said it, and then he found the exact streets that he was coming out of, and he plotted his path of where the cameras went, and he basically Google Earth and said this is what he did. And this is where it was. And here's how I know. And here's how you can determine. Like, many people will go off of landmarks.
Sure.
But he went off of graffiti on the wall, type of shutters somebody had, and the little tips on the top of a bridge.
So this dude is like a modern day Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah. So he's
seriously observant.
He took a CIA test and passed it and posted the results. And somebody challenged him because it wasn't just places. Again, this is worldwide. Mm-hmm. He made a joke that it doesn't matter where you are, he can find it. And he showed some of his DMs, and a person bought a Sephora bag for like their sister-in-law, and it got sent somewhere. He said, this is the address I sent it. Here's the picture that the Amazon person took. That is not where the person lives. Can you find this place so that I can get the bag back? He goes through, he was like, all right, here's how you find the tree, because New York has a list of all the trees. So you go to this New York app and it says, you know, oh, this is a white spruce. So I look at all the white spruces, and then I look at the door number. So white spruce plus door number. Okay, now I've narrowed it down to these. It's got to be one with a driveway. Here it is. Here's the person who owns it. And then there's the follow-up of, you know, I called them, they did it, here's the bag, here's how happy she is, thank you so much. And it's like, that's modern day superhero stuff. But then
sure,
he went, someone challenged him and said, you can't find me because I'm inside this building. And he stares at the camera and he goes, yeah, I know all the places. Oh, you thought this was hard? He goes to like the corner of a cafeteria in a high school and says, you were right here. And sure enough, he was. It was ridiculous. So that's the kind of fun stuff that he does. That is his actual name, is Rainbolt. So people say Rainbolt. Hey, Rainbow, I don't know what your real name is. And he goes, well, that is my name, so don't worry about it. But they said, if he ever turns into a villain, that's going to be a problem, because
I have a specific set of skills. I will find
you. Wow.
So he's not even the best, but he's the most popular of the people who can find things, at least on YouTube that produces this stuff. Because he was able to tell the difference between Brazilian dirt and with Senegal gradient. And people are like, what is Senegal gradient? Wow. Oh, it's the type of red that's in dirt. And that's how you know that you're in Senegal. So, but once he's in your feed and you start watching the things, you'll see that there was a blue sky. And he was like, oh, this is Brazil. It's like, I live in Brazil. I look up. How do you know what I'm looking?
I can see this becoming a guilty obsession. That's crazy.
Oh, I'm yeah. liking it.
But absolutely. The nice thing is that he teaches you the tools that he uses in order to find things.
Nice.
So that is how I find things when people ask, hey, can you find this person? Or these are the types of channels that I'm looking at, people who do unconventional things on the internet.
Yes. I believe I've actually asked you to find people for me.
And I have tried.
And you've done well. You've done well.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Before we, I don't know when we'll depart this evening, but did you want to talk about
It's a marathon. Sorry.
Did you want to talk about the horrible people in Denmark? You showed me that disturbing article. Ruined my whole day.
We have decided that Swimming with the Fish has now a formal declaration of war against the Denmark zoo.
Yeah. They don't have nuclear weapons. We don't have to import or export anything from them. I'd like a million.
We're certainly not exporting anything to them, are we?
No, we are not.
Yes. Well, here's the thing, peoples. Apparently.
Well, maybe they could have some illegal aliens.
Wow, that's cold, funny, horrible, and cold.
Funny, but wrong.
So this is how the story begins. Do you have a hamster, rabbit, guinea pig, or even a horse that is no longer of use? That sentence right there offended me. But go ahead. Let's continue. If so, a zoo in Denmark would like to hear from you. It is pleading for donations of small, unwanted family pets that could be killed and served up to feed their captive predators. So, I've never really been a big fan of zoos in general. And if you're going to have...
This isn't doing it for you, is it?
It's just confirming everything I've always thought about zoos. Don't make zoos, right? Because then you have to find ways to feed predators. And their idea of people shipping them, you know, well, you know, my dog, my horse went limp, so I'm going to put him on a plane and fly him to Denmark so he can be chomped on by Tigger. No, heck no. Strong words to follow. It's horrible. It's horrible. And the Denmarkians should be ashamed.
I agree. Shame on you. Shame. They should have the old hag following them with ringing the shame bell.
Exactly. So the online picture has this picture of this, is a wildcat baring its teeth on the website. Yes. And it's literally on their website. Hey, just, you know, send your little critters to us. If you have a healthy animal, they only want healthy animals that needs to be given away for some reason, feel free to donate it to us. We'll kill it and feed it to our animals. Yeah, awesome. I don't know. I don't know who's running their social media and making these decisions, but
probably the guy who was running Jaguar.
Yeah. Also, they're very picky. It turns out they only take rabbits, guinea pigs, and chickens on weekdays between 10 and 1. But no more than 4 at a time. I'd love to see how many people actually donated. And why isn't PETA going after these schlemiels?
Because PETA are a group of useless idiots.
Oh, that's right. There you go.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say the quiet part out loud? I'm so sorry.
Hey, I support them.
You support the Denmark Zoo?
No, I support people eating tasty animals.
Oh, well.
As do I, Chief.
I did tonight. It was a very tasty cow person part there. Yep.
I believe that there is plenty of room for Texas wildlife right there next to the mashed potatoes and gravy.
Which there's plenty of over here.
Yes. It wants to feed my pet to their animals.
By the way, There's a picture of the car I left behind. I'll be leaving behind. Oh. That's actually even the right color for mine.
That's nice. I like that.
But you could see either one of those, you know, I really have no right to complain.
No. Oh, well, you know, it's not everybody's got a, you know, couple of Nazi cars in the driveway.
Though I must admit that the newer car there, You see how it has a little gap between the top of the back tire and the bottom of the wheel well?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right now I don't have that.
You don't have that gap?
No.
That's probably a problem.
Well, it does make the car ride quite a bit rougher.
I can imagine that would be the case.
Yeah.
You get a free chiropractic exam.
Well, you know, good cars have good genetics and good people have good genetics. I hear we're having a lot of problem with genetics lately, or I'm sorry, genes. That's what we're having a lot of problem with genes lately.
I had no problem with that ad. I don't understand why somebody's having trouble with it.
Hey, I'm looking at that ad going, yeah, I'm okay.
Nope, nothing wrong here.
Nope. Yeah. And then, of course, you know, Lizzo gets out there and apparently Lizzo's colorblind because she's in a pair of blue jeans and she said, my jeans are black. And I went, okay, I guess I should ask how she was spelling jeans.
Wow.
Just, I don't know why people are upset. Because you can't be nice at anything. You have to be an unachiever nowadays, so that you're just part of the pack and nothing special.
Is that what it is?
I think that's what it is. I get the feeling that if you excel at something, I mean, you know, Caitlin Clark excelled at women's basketball to the extent that she was literally a mechanism for financial improvement for an entire sport franchise and league. And she was hated. I was like, okay, I don't get that. Everybody's benefiting here.
There's a lot of hate in the world.
There is a lot of hate, and I hate that.
I told you I saw there's a new book out describing something it turns out that I am that I didn't know I was.
Really?
It's a book describing a Disney adult.
And how
accurate is that?
Are you a Disney adult?
I guess. People who like things Disney. I happen to like the theme parks and the resort, particularly the one in Florida. You know, do I go many times a year? I used to before the prices went up. Do I have a timeshare there? And actually at any Disney property, it's good. Mm-hmm. Sure. Do I have a lot of Disney movies in my collection? Yeah. I have some Disney memorabilia at my home. Mm-hmm. You've been to Stately Goon Manor. Both of you have.
Yes.
You think it's like over the top, like every square inch of space is covered with Disney stuff?
No, it's not like you got like, you know, a Mickey mosaic tile in the bathroom or anything, you know.
I could only go through the servant's entrance, so I don't mess with it.
Got him in through the side door.
Never going to let that. Next time you visit, I'm going to put up a sign that says service entrance.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
So enthusiastic. Mr. Racist? Okay, sure.
Well, this is why I was, there's apparently, due to all the white supremacy statements, apparently a random Japanese woman or the person in the jeans ad, they were saying, which one is more desirable? And they were going with random Japanese person just because it was traditional values, soft, feminine.
Well, yeah, you know, it's funny. And there was always that group of young ladies when I was in high school that were deemed unapproachable because they were just, you know, she's out of your league. Okay. Well, the problem is if every guy thinks that such young lady is out of their league, then she finds herself not in any league at all. And the next thing you know, she's wondering, well, why am I not dating? Well, because every guy doesn't think they have a shot. So if I'm looking at the picture that you showed, and I'll
add that to the collection of artwork we're sending up with this episode. You know, if I was a young single individual, which one would I have a shot with? I probably would have a better shot with the, you know, unassuming, not unattractive, but, you know, obviously, you know, not, you know, out there like that. Yeah. So it's,
I think it's a psychological thing,
you know?
I think I could have gotten a date with either one of them, and I find them both attractive.
I am so glad that you have this good, solid, you know, handle on your charisma power.
I'd ask anyway. What's the worst that can happen? They say no.
Well, when you're okay, do you remember being 15?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember hearing a lot of no's?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did it feel good?
No.
Well, there you go.
But what happens if you stop asking?
A
whole lot of nothing.
Well, yeah.
This is
it hurts.
Doing playing the numbers game.
It's like
precisely. Yes, 100% accurate.
This is, you know, you miss every shot you never take.
Mm-hmm.
This is what this generation has lost.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what is going on with the Goon Child or the Crutchling, but I know the Ogryn are basically like, it's not worth it. And I said, you know, this is why the Siberian Express wants to, I won't say kidnap or abduct, because, you know, she is their parent, but right. Basically,
but arrange something.
No, not maybe. It is, and not even arrange. It is more of a point at that and say you will. And now it's getting to the point where it's not just for guys, because there is a woman that I know, mm-hmm. that has met the Ogryn and has pledged her granddaughter. And I was like, this is now the 1500s. Now, she pledged the granddaughter without the granddaughter's knowledge. She told...
Hey, that's kind of rude.
She told her daughter that she has promised her granddaughter to someone. And she said, are you serious? And she said, yes. And she said, did you at least talk to her? And she said, no.
Why would I do that?
So she... I got to meet the person, and she's very nice. And she's actually... been taught, you know, basically non-Western tradition.
Yeah.
She's respectful. She's quiet. She tries to do things properly. She's not been with anyone.
Wow.
And now she's
the age difference? Are they around the same age?
Yeah.
Oh,
they are. They're months apart.
Oh, that's very nice.
So,
okay.
So the problem that I have is that she is now trying to set it up, and she's actually flying her out to Dallas.
Whoa!
And that's where my sons are now, is in Dallas.
Oh, wow.
And
oh, so if I come visit, they can come pick me up at the airport and take me to you? So I don't have to drive?
Yeah.
Awesome. That just...
We're in. When are we leaving?
Because,
leaving.
Because I hate the Dallas airport forever. And I hate rental car place at Dallas Airport forever.
Love Field was better when I flew through there.
Yes, Love Field and Dallas Fort Worth are totally, they might as well be in different states. And if you thought either one of those, you have not been to Shreveport.
Louisiana.
Because you don't know that you're at an airport at that place.
You know, because I thought, you know, you're just as close to there as you are to Dallas, if not closer.
Yeah,
and maybe flying into there would be easier to get to you.
So
yeah, I really thought about that. You're right.
There is negative traffic because
I'll be pulled to your house. What?
They took down the sides for the speed limit. So when I drove there, mm-hmm. I saw two people, and they may have been as lost as I was. They're like, nobody should be on this road at any point in time.
You shouldn't be able to get here from there.
Yes. Once you get into Louisiana, you know.
Yeah, Louisiana. Because
the humidity hits you at the border, and there are crawfish everywhere, and there's water everywhere, and there are gators in the swamps, which are on the side of the road. You just see eyes sticking out, and I'm like, this can't be real life. But it was.
But it was.
And then there were five airplanes. And I said, Shreveport is humongous. Why are there five planes? There are two gates and five planes. There was an old man.
Which gate you flying out of? One?
Yeah, it was one or it was two. And it was on the left or right side of, you know, Bob's pizza place.
I got to make a connection. Well.
I'll wait for you.
Oh,
it was because it's not
same. Southwest wouldn't even wait for their own people. On our flight out of Nashville, we were delayed as a Southwest employee, not a crew member or future crew member. They were just, you know, what's the phrase you used?
Deadheading.
Yes.
Yep.
So we waited like 10 minutes and then we stopped waiting and I went, wow, I guess he's stuck in Nashville. So, yeah, so it's nice to know. That's nice. All righty, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you have enjoyed this. This has been a lot of fun. I am so looking forward to getting back to work tomorrow. I was going to go back to work today, but that's another story for another episode. And with that, a word from our sponsors.
Tonight's episode brought to you by Goon's Ye Olde Machines. Why buy now when you can have almost just like new from the Goon's inventory of old, older, and oldest machines? Coon's got stuff from the Pleistocene era that he's still trying to use on a daily basis. You might be able to convince him to part with some of it by offering him a small honorarium. See how far your dollars can go and get a gently used antique for your collection. And Crochito's Pequeño Tours of Old Mexico. If you only have a short time, let Crochito be your little tour company. His tours always include complimentary sombreros, transfers from the airport to your resort by borough, bribes to the federales. What more could you need? Crochito includes the best local attractions. Meet Juan Valdez. See where Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid bought the farm. These and many more highlights. Call Crochito today for an estimate. You won't believe how small the bill is. And a modest proposal for feeding the Denmarkian zoo predators. I am certain there are plenty of unwanted children cluttering up Denmark's homes. What do we do to solve both of these problems? It's simple. Give your unwanted children to the zoo to feed the predators. With apologies to Jonathan Swift. Swimming with the Fish is produced by Happy Pole LLC. Copyright 2025. All rights reserved.